Welcome to BetterScope, sponsored by Remo Staff, Growth and Freedom with Remote Experts. And this episode's special sponsor, Content Creative. My special guest today is Richard Liu. Richard is a Sydney-based buyer's agent, helping both investors and home buyers purchase property in the Sydney market. He has over 10 years of sales experience across sales and construction industry. He created his buyer's agency to change the mindset on how to purchase a property and challenge the conventional way of how real estate is bought. And he believes everyone should have a fair go at purchasing a property and has created a unique system to simplify the journey, saving your time, money, and hassle. There is nothing too hard in his book. They call him the Done Deal Man. And today, Richard will share his insights on how to purchase property in the Sydney market. Welcome, Richard, to BetterScope.
Thanks, Libby. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no worries, Richard. I always love to find where our guests are based. From where have you joined us today?
I'm joining from the eastern suburbs of Coogee in Sydney, a wonderful beachfront suburb.
It's an amazing place. I love Coogee. I love eastern suburbs, although I'm based myself on north part of Sydney. That as well, it's quite a good area. Richard, so we know each other for a while, but tell me about your journey. How you came to where are you today?
So with my buyer's agency, I started about 2 years ago, almost. So give you a bit of a rundown. So I'm a bit of an all-rounder. I used to be an accountant about 5 years. Then I was in the finance industry for about 10 years. And then after that, I was working for one of the largest builders in Australia for about 2 years before I started my own buyer's agency and decided to help others purchase the right property to live in as well as to invest. How I came to that and why I started a buyer's agency, it's very simple. I've gone through my personal journey and I see I made a lot of mistakes along the way. When I first bought my property, I didn't have any assistance. In fact, I overpaid my first property by $500. So I learned that from the lessons and also along my way of investing journeys. I learned the mistakes, what not to make, what to watch out for. So I really want to help others and guide them just so they don't make the same mistakes I've made. And also just don't want you to purchase a lemon property and you want to get it right the first time because it is a big purchase decision, whether it's a $500,000 purchase or $10 million purchase. If you get it wrong, it could cost you dearly when you're trying to resell the property. And I've seen it happen many, many times. So that's a reason why I started my buyer's agency and why I want to help others just so that, you know, shortcut their time, journey and hassle in purchasing property and using my expertise from a building background.
Look, I love this and I love about, removing a lot of obstacles and especially, you know, that in Remo Staff we bring as well time, money and freedom. And you are saying that you are saving time, money and hassle. But tell me about your goal in your life. So what is your goal and what is your better scope?
In terms of my business goal or personal goal?
Both of them, and maybe they could be connected, maybe they're not.
So in terms of business goals, trying to grow my business in the eastern suburbs. So I'm trying to crack that $10 million, the high-end luxury market, as well as helping some buyers in the lower end, first home buyers. So it's growing that client base and referral base, and the business is coming along, a lot of referrals. In terms of personal goals, Lubo, probably, you know, next few years, time to find someone and get married and have a kid and hopefully by 50 retire in the Bahamas somewhere or, you know, somewhere nice and not to work a single day in my life, right? So that'll be the ideal goal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like good goals. And I mean, you're not necessary to do a retirement in Bahamas. I think like there is a lot of like nice places in Australia as well when you can have like a good retirement. But let's come back to the property and to Sydney market, Australia. So what is happening in 2024 in the market?
So 2024, it's been an interesting market. So look, I'll start with probably what's happening end of 2023, where the demand and supply, so there's a the property prices have risen quite a lot because of the shortage of supply, and this is expected to carry forward into 2024. Now, I've seen a lot of buyers' activities at the moment where a lot of properties are selling before auction or at auction. Auction clearance rate in Sydney is quite high. You're looking at consistently sitting over 70%. Now, we are hitting before Easter time, so this is going to be one of the biggest auction weekend because we've got school holidays and Easter's coming up, so the market activity will quieten down a little bit. But it comes down to one thing. There's a shortage of properties on the market at the moment, even though there's more listings coming on compared to last year. However, there's still a massive shortage of properties, purely for a few reasons. Since COVID time, since our borders opened, last year we had about 600,000 people coming through. I mean, it's over 500, 600 migration-wise, and our population has grown over 650,000 in a year. Our construction target every year under the Labor government is about 240,000 new construction every year, and we're nowhere near that. Last year, I think we constructed about 160,000, 170,000 dwellings, and we're way short of the target. So that's why you're going to see that massive rental shortage. The rental crises are happening. At the same time, there's also these buyers and investors are coming back where they're buying properties left, right, and center. And that's why the property market is strong, despite many interest rate rises. And also, what's keeping the market strong in 2024, one in four buyers are cash buyers. Now, whether they expats coming back cashed up, there's a lot of downsizers, there's a lot of first home buyers where mum and dads are giving them the money to buy their first properties. Those are the people that have made their money or have the cash to buy, and those are the people that's driven up the price values a lot.
Yeah. So I think, well, Richard, like such kind of like a good introduction about the market. So like it's almost make me scary a bit. So I have like so many questions, but let me go like one by one. So like I know that a lot of immigrants are coming to Australia. But as well, I know that it was like a big spike in prices in during COVID in 2021. So like some properties were in some neighborhoods, like some areas, like you have like a double in price. Like so prices were like increased like twice for the same type of property for the previous years. But then after that, I think in 2022, it was like probably the top of the peak, and then it was like prices were going down.
That's right,
yeah. Do I understand? Like, is it like a fair to say that some of the investors, they have lost their money in property, or they are still probably recovering, or because they bought something on the peak in 2021, 2022, and now those prices went down and they have not still recovered from that period of time?
Yes and no, it depends on where you're buying. In the Sydney market, yes. So probably the peak of market, you're probably looking around 2022. And I have sold my property as well during the peak of the 2022, right before it went down. So that was the peak. And then 2023 is when the market had continuous rate rises as well. And you're right, there's that dip, but the markets are coming back now, especially into 2023 and into 2024. The reason being that one, the interest rate stabilizing, and two, with the market itself, and it's not because of the rate rises, it's because of lack of supply at the moment. So there's a lot of buyers, and imagine there's 10 buyers fighting for one property, and that's what's causing the market to come back. So go back to your questions about investors losing money. Look, if they hold on to their property, they probably would have break even by now, depending on where they buy, right? I know in Sydney, some areas have dipped off its value, but now it's coming back strongly as well. So it's back to where we were around the probably April 2022 mark when the market was dropping. And we're going to have a slow and steady rise this year, depending on what's happening with the interest rate.
Okay.
So Reserve banks are talking about a reduction of rate this year. They are probably going to put the rates on hold this month. So it depends on what they do with the interest rates. But I think everyone knows at the moment the rates have peaked, inflation has peaked. There's a bit of uncertainty in our economy with our unemployment rates, which are due to be released and so on. So yeah, they're basically, before they drop the rate, they're going to look at exercise with caution.
Okay, well, yeah, so it's good comments and giving like for me a bit of like a more understanding. Still, like regarding the property, so I understand there is no supply because like there was not too much construction, and you have those statistics data that like the cost of to build something is getting higher, yep, and higher, mm-hmm, and as well, like I'll put like a simple way. So, and with your example, so you have sold your property just on the peak, so before the prices went down. So for that buyer bought your property, so probably for him, it was not the time to go back in the market and to sell his property that he bought from you. So this is why many buyers are still like many sellers are not coming in the market, because they have not yet, they don't want to have a situation when they bought something for whatever, like 2-3 million, and then selling like with losses. So this is another reason why most probably there is no such kind of supply. Regarding the demand, so you mentioned that like I was not aware about those like cash buyers, because what I think what is happening in the economy right now, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it's interest rate is from one hand, but I think the economy itself is getting a bit challenging. I know that some businesses are struggling. I know, like even to hire someone in Australia or to maintain the business, especially in retail. I know that many businesses are closing, and again, like look, many of them start to use some remote staff or virtual assistant. But my point is, do you think that this demand is already at the highest level, or is going to increase? And what is the level of the demand versus what was like a few years ago? Are we still have such kind of strong demand, or people are still, because they don't have maybe a salary, because the interest rates are higher, they're not going to buy anything right now?
Look, I think the demand will be there. Have we hit the peak of the market? It's very hard to say at the moment. I'll say we probably haven't. Now, the reason why is, remember, a lot of people have the income. What's restricting them is the borrowing capacity. So when the bank announces rate drop, which is imminent, right, late this year, forecast in June, but looking at economy status at the moment, I think our GDP sits at 0.2 at the moment increase, which is quite slow. And our employment rates are due to be released, I think, next week. And they're saying the stats are looking, unemployment rates are going to be a bit higher, I'm probably hitting the fours. So the economy is not looking too positive. And that's why the RBAs are going to treat it with caution, and they're going to hold that rate drop as late as possible. But the moment the rate drop comes in, people are going to have more borrowing capacity, and those can afford it, they're going to push up the prices even further. They're happy to pay more to get that property because their borrowing capacity isn't more, and they're not worrying about their income as such because they're on good income. It's just a borrowing capacity, or they don't have the deposit, and the cost of living at the moment is so high, they can't afford to buy. Right. So there's going to be those type of people that's going to drive the demand up. And there's also going to be newcomers coming to the market because the interest rate drops, the consumer confidence is going to increase. And a lot of people are waiting for that moment to come to have to purchase the property. Now, the other thing is why the demand is so high. The only way where you can reduce or the price of the property or keep it at a stable level is having increased supply of properties. At the moment, the new build is not increasing because the cost of borrowing is so high, and also construction and labor costs is high. So with the developers, they're looking at probably around 25-30% margin before they even want to build something. And a lot of projects, they have bought the land and they just hold on to it because it's not feasible for them to build at the moment until that margin is there, or they're not interested in building. Now, secondly, with what we've gone through the last 2022, 2023, a lot of new home builders I'm talking about home and land packages, those builders are going bust and they're still in that process of recovering at the moment. In fact, I looked at Financial Review the other day. The top 20 builders in Australia, I think only had 10 disclose their financial data. And 10 of them didn't even disclose their financial data. So you tell me whether you would have the confidence to build with one of those builders. And some of those builders, their financial report doesn't look that good. It's in losses based on what they filed with ASIC in 2023. Right. So, and that's why a lot of consumers are buyers, I should say, are not buying brand new properties or off the plan. They're looking to existing properties because they know that when they buy now, they don't need to go through the hassle of purchasing a new property, facing the risk of whether losing their deposit or, you know, the builder's going to bust and go through, lose all their savings. They'd rather buy something they can see and they're happy to pay a bit over because they know that they're getting what they wanted. And that's what's driving the prices up at the moment and increasing the demand on existing property. So, and it's keeping the market there at the moment.
Okay, yeah, understand. And again, like a few more scary comments. So what the buyers, or what do we need to do to watch when we are purchasing a property?
When you're purchasing a property, so the most important things, you need to get a building and pest done on the property to make sure you're not purchasing a lemon. Common things that go wrong with the property, most important, you got to make sure there's no termites, there's no structural issues in the property, building falling apart, foundation wise, there's no issues or anything like that, concrete's falling apart or caving in. Those are the things that you need to watch out for. Secondly, the contract itself, you need to get your solicitor read the contract carefully to make sure what your block's like, whether it's in a flood zone, whether it's in a bushfire zone. Those type of things are very important, whether it has mine subsidence, if you build on a mining zone. So these are type of things that would affect later on if you do want to rebuild the home or you're thinking knocking down, especially if you're in a rezoning section where developer could potentially buy your block in the future. But if your block is flood affected, then you know you could have a lot of issues. And same if you want to build later on, you might not be able to build a house on it because it's a flood affected zone and it can be very costly. So these are the things that you need to be aware of. And you need to, I guess, bulletproof yourself with the purchase and future proof at the same time. And so when you sell it one day, see, the buyers also need to think of selling later on, right? When you're selling later on, you got to make sure that that property does stack up to its value and you're not going to lose money. And this is by reading the contract carefully, doing your due diligence on building and pests as well. So these are the two main things I would say.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Richard, for adding those values for our listeners. And for me, is my time right now to thank our sponsors. RemoStaff brings time, money, and freedom to busy entrepreneurs via outsourcing. With RemoStaff, you'll get not a virtual, but a real offshore expert dedicated only for you that will support your business. Hire an offshore expert with RemoStaff and go on a free four-day holiday. Content Creative is a boutique video content creation agency on a mission to help brands engage and connect with their customers through effective and tailored video marketing solutions. For those in Australia, send BetterScope in a text message to 0425-884464 and you'll get 10% discount on your video production. So coming back, Richard, to property, how do you negotiate a better deal for a client than the client can negotiate themselves?
Okay, so it's a very good question. There's several ways to do it, right? The main thing is come down to your agent relationship. So being a buyer's agent, obviously we're in the same profession as a real estate agent themselves. But you've got to remember, a real estate agent works for the seller, not for the buyer. I exclusively work for the buyer. So the difference is when I get involved on a deal, I get straight to the point and the agent knows that they're not going to be there to stuff around. So that's how you get a better deal, by negotiating with an agent, talking their language. And sometimes it's also understanding the environment of negotiation what the other party wants in terms of the vendor, their motivation to sell for whatever reason, someone's deceased state, the kids just want the money divided. They're probably not as motivated to get a high price. They just want it sold. Compared to someone like your example before, if they bought it 2 years ago at a very high price, they're more reluctant to let it go at a lower price and to let it go at a loss because they want to get their money back at least to break even so they can move on to the next property. Or someone had their property for a long, long time, let's say 20, 30 years, extra 50, 100,000, it doesn't mean much to them. They just probably want a quick settlement, get the money, move on to the next property, and especially what they have bought already. So there are different scenarios. You need to watch how you get the deal. Sometimes you can get off-market properties as well, where you can eliminate all the competitions and negotiate it prior to coming on the market. Some of the properties never come on the market. Let's say a lot of eastern suburb properties in Sydney, they are exclusively off market as well, where you go in and negotiate a price by looking at the property. Yeah,
look, definitely. I know that like in eastern suburbs, especially have like some kind of suburbs where they do not have like so many properties and there is nothing too much on sale. I know that there are different strategies, like there are auctions and there are private sales, like off market. Mm-hmm. So which one is more preferable for you or that you recommend for your clients? If you'll go for the an auction, so what will be your auction strategy?
Okay, so I started with off market properties, what you mentioned. So a lot of value where I can add in. Be off-market properties because those are the properties that are not on the market, but agents are willing to show a buyer's agent. Whether they're coming in the market a few weeks pre-release it or never come on the market, because at the end of the day, they bring a qualified buyer to the seller, right? And that's what they want when it's off-market, so they can sign up and then show you the property and do a deal. So a lot of properties tend to be done that way. I've done quite a few that's off-market. Where you never heard of the property and next minute it just goes unconditional and sold. So in fact, never came on the market. So that's one way of doing things. To answer your next question, auctions are quite competitive and it's called auction for a reason. It's to have a pricing war on the day. So in the current market, what I would say is auctions are quite hot at the moment. Because of demand and supply, there is a shortage of supply at the moment. And auction clearance rate, according to CoreLogic, being consistently over 70% in Sydney, which is quite high. I think the highest we've seen since about 2022. So, and it's sticking around that, which means that the activities are quite good at the moment. People are still paying overs at auctions. A lot of auctions I've been to recently, they go way over above the guide price. And on that, when they say guide, it just means that it doesn't mean that you're going to buy it at that price. Typically auction, it's 10 or 20% more than what it is, sometimes even more, just depending on what the buyer is willing to pay. And, also based on the property itself as well. If it's a well-presented property that there's nothing to do, it's obviously value higher than a rundown property as well. So it's pros and cons to everything, right? So especially in the high-end market where you're looking at Bellevue Hill in Sydney, 10 million plus, 20 mils in that range. People pay big price for renovated properties and they just want to move in and do nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I agree that some owners, as you mentioned, they just want to move in and just to have a life without any hustle. And there are some developers that are buying something, for example, develop. So I have like a few more questions before I will come to development. But regarding buyer's agent, so why do people use a buyer's agent? And maybe more specifically, why some of our listeners should come to Richard and use you as their agent?
Okay, so I started with buyer's agency in general. Number one, we're the expert in the field. So you don't have to go hunt around 10, 20 properties. So if you're time poor, I'm going to save you the hassle looking around properties, and every property being selected have done the research for you already. So giving you an unbiased opinion, I'll repeat that, unbiased opinion. You're not going to get an opinion that's saying that, oh yeah, I think this is good price, and you find out that it's not. Give you all the data and stats and to back it up. All the research and due diligence has been done for you. So make sure that you're not buying a lemon. And these are backed by the tools and softwares I use, as well as a contract reading, which I do myself as well. So these are the things you're looking at, why you put going to a buyer's agent. And most importantly is how I negotiate a deal and the agent relationship as well. Like I mentioned earlier, with a buyer's agent, it's very important to have access to off-market properties as well as an agent relationship. So when you're going as a buyer's agent, the agent knows that you're not a tie kicker, you have a qualified buyer, you're ready to go. So on the right property, you will make a price and do a deal. It makes their job 10 times easier because they don't have to negotiate with the seller and the buyer. They only need to work with the seller on a price, and it's much likely that deal is going to happen than not, because the homework's already been done, right? Because I'm working on the buyer. So it's just a matter of going back and forth on the property, on the pricing, once my buyer liked the property. Of course, you need to get there first. It's about the process of researching, finding the right property, and that all takes time and money, right? So let me ask you a simple question. On weekends, would you prefer week after week go to auctions, or on a weekday spending time researching properties where you could be using that time elsewhere, making more money or spending more time with the family? And let me do all the homework. So that's, to sum it up, that's the reason why you need a buyer's agent, where I'll be saving you time, hassle, money. Everything's all taken care of. You just to move in and relax and trust the process.
Yeah, well, look, sounds good. So it's almost the same as in outsourcing. So when someone is outsourcing their hustle and their routine to someone offshore, then, but if you need to buy something in Australia, then you can make sure you can hire a buyer's agent that will be doing this work for you. So actually doing like almost like remotely.
100%, Lubos. Sorry, break it. 100%. Yeah.
No. Whereas, like, so we have this, like, it's a discussion. So, what kind of difference Richard has versus other buyer's agents, or why customers or listeners should come to Richard and not go to someone else?
Okay, so with myself, I offer you a personalized service. So I deal with quality, not quantity. So what I mean by that, there's buyer's agents out there where they'll promise you the world. Once you sign up with them, they flick you to a junior assistant or someone else, and you'll be dealing with them. And quite often what you find, the service level you're getting is not the same person that you've spoken with, and you're getting secondary service, and the junior, they are not as experienced in the field as well with the properties what you'll be looking at, especially when you're looking at a owner-occupier property. You need to understand what you're doing as well. So with myself, having a construction background for 2 years, I understand how floor plan works, the layout the house works. I read the contracts myself, so I have a fairly good understanding of construction, how buildings and all that works. Pretty much most of your questions can be answered. And also I look for structural defects, not as to a certain extent as a building pest inspector, but I have a basic understanding where I go through the property. I can see the, some of the issues with my naked eyes where a buyer can't see it, and I know where to look for these defects. Most importantly, when you come to negotiation, you need a strong negotiator and knowing how to negotiate to get you the best deal. Having 10 years of sales experience, it does help me as well. I know how to negotiate a deal and get it done and close the sale. And at the same time, saving you time, hassle, and money. So I guess these are the main differences with myself. And you'll be getting my exclusive service. And I work at a very fast pace as well. I've done owner-occupiers deals in 7 days of my process. It's purely because, I have understanding what my client wants, and I source them based on what they want and get it done and delivered.
Yeah, look, I love this personalized approach, Richard. I know that you're always trying to help even me in some of the connections that I need. Richard, will you give maybe an example of one of the best cases or more successful negotiations that you have done for your clients, for your customers? So this is one. And maybe another case where you'll say those are type of the clients, they should not come to you.
Okay. So I'll start with the first one. I mean, the most successful negotiation deal I've done is, I guess, 2 o'clock in the morning, right? So to give an example.
2 o'clock at night, you mean?
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning, AM I'm talking about. And this is an Australian client I'm talking about, and I'm dealing with an Australian agent. So we're not talking about any other time in the world, right? I'm talking about Australian time, Sydney time, to be specific. So what happened was the day before, we made an offer on a property. They wouldn't agree to it. So I put a restriction time limit on it. Midnight, that's our offer, take it or leave it. So put the pressure back on the vendor itself. So the agent obviously wanted to get the deal done. I could have got the deal done 6 o'clock the day before, but the reason why I didn't do it is because I want to save my client more money. So having applied the pressure, then trusting my process, I saved them a further 50 grand. So I thought the deal won't get done until that day. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, agent messaged me, woke me up and saying the deal's done. And we got the paper literally signed that morning. It's all sorted. My client woke up in the morning, goes, wake up to the best news. Thank you. I said, yeah, I told you I'll get it done. Just trust my process. I'll get it done for you. Save you another 50 grand.
And so this is amazing example, Richard. So just maybe like just to have like another question on this, we'll see later if you'll keep for all of our listeners or not. But is this example, did you get like another property suitable for your client, or it was like just as a negotiation way that you went with the seller?
Sorry, say that again.
So imagine the deal. Imagine that the seller have not accepted your property at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yep.
So the question was like, did you get you had like another alternative property for your client, or it was you just a tactic of negotiation?
To the agent, always have another property, right? Let's put it that way. So there's always a tactic to it. You don't stick with one. So this is where, you know, there's no desperation on my side at all. So I always tell them that if you don't want this deal, then that's fine. My client's looking at another one. Really, this is their property. Even if they don't have a property, I still say this is the one. Right? They're looking at other properties. So that's how you get away around things. Any agent's head, they go, oh, we're going to lose this client, and they're going to, you know, find another buyer. And you got to remember, agent don't want to do that. They just want to get the deal done, sign a piece of paper, move on to next deal. Right? So,
Yeah, okay. Yeah, makes sense. So, this is good, Richard. So when or who should not come to you?
Look, I don't reject any clients. The way I do things is very simple. I was trying to give them some friendly advice. Now, what I'll say is who shouldn't come to me, probably tie kickers. People just, you know, want some general information, but they're not really ready, or they're serious buyers where I wouldn't be able to help them. Or people that don't know exactly what they want, it makes my job very hard. So if I do engage them, then, you know, it makes it very hard for me to take their money and then say I can't deliver. So I pick and choose my client very carefully. The reason I do it is I want to make sure they get the best experience and I can deliver what they want as well. Right? And this is to avoid people that, you know, just don't know what they want. If they don't know what they want, then I don't know what they want and I can't help them. So these are the type of people that I can't actually help. But if they know what they want, they set on it, they're ready to go, then I definitely can help them with it, or trying to narrow down to what they want within their specific brief, because their brief will change during the whole process as well. Right? The other people that I guess the one fit are the probably needle in a haystack fine, where most cases it happens if you have an unrealistic budget, right? So I'm going to put as a car example, you want a Lamborghini at a Corolla budget, Toyota budget, right? So that's not going to happen. If you want like a $3 million property, you only got a budget $2 million. I've got no magic pill to fix that. If I can buy, I'll buy myself and I flip it and I can make the money, right? So those are what I call, you know, needle in a haystack fund client properties. Those are the ones I don't deal with. But if they're realistic with what they're after and they know what they want, I'm happy to help, no issues. Sometimes, you know, even I can't, happy to give them some advice and, you know, guide them towards the right direction. And hopefully you can find your own property. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. And thank you for those comments. Richard, will be there any tip that you'll give to our listeners about property?
Sorry, say that again.
Do you have any tips that you'll give, or one tip that you'll give to our listeners that will be looking to buy a property?
One tip is, if you're looking at a property, don't procrastinate. If you're thinking, oh, I'll probably get a better deal later on, buy the property when you are ready to buy, because the property prices will always go up in the long term. Don't overthink it, especially if you're owner-occupier, purchase it now.
Okay, sounds good, Richard. So thank you very much for being on Better Scope. So where could our listener find more about you, or how they can get in touch with you?
Okay, so my details are listed in a corner. So you can call me on 0433-264478, or you can go to my website, www.eliteproperty-consulting.com.au. It's also listed on the corner of my page as well.
Sounds good, Richard. And for all our listeners that are listening us and not watching us, so you always can find the details of Richard in the show notes, as well as his email address and his website. And you can get in touch with Richard on his Elite Property Consulting company. Thank you very much, Richard, for being with us and sharing your experience on property and your Better Scope.
Thanks, Luba. Thank you.
Thanks
for having me on the show.
No worries, Richard. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on Better Scope. If you like this content, be sure to share it, subscribe, and like it. Thank you very much.